for our second reading. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 13. Second Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. "And it came to pass after this, that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down, and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come, and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house, and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all the men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and said unto her, Come, lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. And she said unto him, There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head, and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head, and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister, for he is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass, after 2 full years, that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, Behold, now thy servant hath sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant. And the king said to Absalom, Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee. And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? But Absalom pressed him, that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass, while they were in the day, that tidings came to David, saying, Absalom hath slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take this thing, or take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled. And the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. This is one of those passages where we are reminded of the words of the ancient governor in England when he was set down to get a portrait painted of himself, said to the painter, I want you to paint me warts and all. Here we have a situation that rises in the house of David that is certainly ugly. It's like a wart. It's a blemish. It's a blotch upon the house of David. Of course, this is exactly what the Lord told him would happen, that the sword would not ever depart out of his house. It's not over yet, by the way. As we follow the life of David and the house of David, we will see that Nathan the prophet had spoken rightly. The sword never departed out of David's house. David had strife in his house ever since the day that he fell with Bathsheba. So in this passage then, we have a desire. It's very, very interesting the way this proceeds, because, and I think it's instructive, because many times we see this. We have a desire on the part of Amnon for his half-sister Tamar. Now it is his half-sister. Remember that David had multiple wives and various sons by those wives. So Amnon's mother and Absalom and Tamar's mother were different women. And David, in all likelihood, would have allowed Amnon to marry Tamar, in all likelihood, because they had different mothers. In all likelihood, that would have been allowed. What's interesting about that is that Amnon has a particular course that he's pursuing originally. And that particular course is, I'm just going to leave it alone. I love her, but, you know, I'm just going to leave it alone. There's nothing I can do about it at this point. Well, then we have this guy that rises up. His name is Jonadab. Now, I don't know if you noticed Jonadab in the latter part of the chapter, but this is a guy, this Jonadab guy, he knows how to play all the angles. He's on the front side, he's on the back side, he's in the middle, and he's ingratiating himself everywhere he goes. So beware of those folks that speak to you in smooth words and tell you that your desires are tantamount, are paramount. What does he say to Amnon? Well, he says, now how is it that you, being the son of a king aren't getting what you want. How does that work? I thought the sons of kings always got what they wanted. I thought all you had to do was, you know, talk to dad and you'd get whatever it is that you'd want. Well, I love my sister Tamar, Absalom's sister. And, you know, Jonadab says, well, let's come up with a plan. Well, the plan is not a good plan. In fact, it's a sinful plan. It's a plan that ends up with the forcing of Tamar to do something that she did not want to do and should not have done, and Amnon should not have done. Ends up in fornication, doesn't it? But notice that there are steps all along the way. I mean, this thing just didn't happen in a vacuum. There are things that happen all along the way here. And if someone knows how to read the signs, or perhaps if someone knows how to conduct themselves in modesty, it would not have happened in the first place. And so Amnon is on his bed and he wants Tamar to come and minister to him. And there's nothing wrong with that. Sisters, it's okay for you to minister to your brothers. That's not a problem. But what happens here is there is this point at which Amnon says, everybody else leave the room. Everybody else leave. And Tamar, you come in here in the chamber. You know, at that point, the red lights should have been going off. We have broken standards of custody, standards of modesty at that point. This is why, you know, we're often accused of being reactionary and old-fashioned for doing so. But we require, you know, chaperones. We require public venues. We require that when young ladies and young men get together, that they do so in ways that do not break with propriety. Not that that speaks ill of those young ladies or those young men. It's just those who are in authority over them need to be answerable. It's just very clear that situations like this lead to bad things. Whether the intention is there or not, whether it happens or not, we always want to be able to vouch for one another. And so that's why we do what we do with chaperones and public venues. And, you know, our kids always got lots of mileage traveling with their older brothers and sisters. So this fornication then takes place. But did you notice that you have Amnon, and what is he doing? He is pressing his will. And I've told you this many times, but let's think about this here and how it plays out between Amnon and Tamar. Many times, wanting something to us seems better than actually having it. We build up a romantic notion of something. We think that it's all going to be so very great, and we press it and we pursue it and we press it and we pursue it, and there's fun and there's excitement in the pressing and the pursuing of it. And then when we get it, it's like, ah, what's that all about? This is really what I was pressing for so long. It was more fun. I never should have got it. It was more fun before. Right? Doesn't that happen? Well, it happens even worse here because Tamar had warned him not to sin against her and against God. And so all of that disaffection and all of that disapproval focuses on Tamar, and now he hates her. And this is often the case. Listen to me carefully, young men and women. This is often the case with fornication. That it's often better to, you know, it seems so right and wonderful and romantic on the front side, and on the back side it ends up in hatred. This has been played out over and over and over again, and the reason the Lord puts it here in Scripture, warts and all, is so we will be warned. It often turns out exactly the opposite of the romantic notion that we had, thinking that sinning against God would be okay. It's not. Never is. And it is a rare circumstance where it actually comes out right. That is the exception, not the rule. The rule is hatred, variance, strife. That's the rule. All right, so that's the first half of the chapter. The second half of the chapter is the slow burn of Absalom. 2 whole years he harbors this hatred for Amnon. Don't you just see Absalom sitting back there plotting and planning and trying to figure out a way that he can avenge his sister? You know there are proper ways to go about that. Absalom doesn't. And woe to David that he refused to stand up and take charge of his house. Fathers, there's something we can learn by way of negative example here. Woe unto David that he did not rise and take charge of his house. So then, in the second half of the chapter, we have this slow burn on the part of Absalom, and as bad as Jonadab and Amnon were at plotting, Absalom has them beat in spades because he has a 2-year plan. He's on a 2-year plan to avenge his sister, and so he does. And so he presses David, and my opinion is that he knows full well that David will not come down to the sheep shearing. Now, sheep shearing in Israel was a party. It was a wonderful thing. It's like bringing in a harvest. You know, shearing the sheep meant a harvest of wool, right? And so it was a big time. It was you know, a party where they would celebrate the goodness of the Lord. There was food, and there was wine, there was drink, there was fellowship and fun, and you know, just a general goodwill because of the blessing of God. And so Absalom knew that was his moment. And so when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, he'll be less resistance. Strike him then. And then Absalom says something to his servants that I want you to remember. I want you to burn this into your memory. Have I not told thee? In other words, what he's saying to the servants is, oh, it'll be my fault, not yours. You know, the sin's upon me and not upon you. You're just doing what I told you. Listen, that's never an excuse to sin. There's no authority upon the face of the earth that can tell you to sin against God rightly. None. When an authority requires you to sin, what do you say? We must obey God rather than men. We follow the example of the apostles at that point. And the servants of Absalom should have said what? Far be it, my Lord, that we should do this thing to sin against God and against thee. Right? But notice also that in both cases, in Amnon and in Absalom, there were lawful means of proceeding. You see, they're both guilty, they're both blameworthy in the fact that they had a lawful means of settling their grievances or their needs, their difficulties, and both of them refused it. Amnon refused it, and Absalom refused it. Amnon refused to go to David. Absalom refused to go to David. Both of them did. Both of them failed to go to the authorities that the Lord had placed over them for the resolution of their difficulty. And so they are equal in that, aren't they? The Lord has given us authorities in the state, in the church, in the family, in all three of those spheres. He has given us ways of resolving difficulties. You remember the day when they had the riot in Ephesus. What did the master of the city said? Listen, if these guys have done something wrong, the courts are here. Let them plead. Let them go to court. Let them do this in a lawful way. What a good magistrate that guy was. What a good guy. Probably an unbeliever, but at least he understood what civil government was given for. To keep order. To keep people from taking vengeance and the law into their own hands. To keep an angry mob from putting to death the innocent, the uncondemned. And so here is Absalom. And did you notice how it was put so that David would not move against Absalom? Now, this is something that we are all susceptible to. It's a very, very interesting tactic. I thought it was very, very interesting. The word comes back to David, all the king's sons are dead. Did you notice, by the way, that when Absalom had Amnon killed, that all the rest of the king's sons, what did they do? They got on their mules and whoosh, they're gone. Right? They don't want any part of that. And so the word goes out, and I believe, although it's not said in the text here, I think it's a reasonable assumption, a reasonable inference to say that it was put out for a very specific purpose that all the king's sons were dead. It's not just an errant rumor. This was a rumor that was specifically started so that when David heard, that the rest of the king's sons were not dead, only Amnon, and that it was Absalom that slayed him, that he would have been the more lenient, because he's got really good news. Not all the king's sons are dead. Only one is dead. You see that? It's a tactic. It's a tactic that if you wash the perception with something terrible, that when it's found out that it's really not so bad after all, then you're the much more forward to just let it go. And that's the tactic. And so that's exactly what David did. He let it go. In fact, it says that his soul longed for Absalom. Now, in the next chapter, we're going to see another ruse by Joab and how David gets, or Absalom is received back into favor with David. All right, well, thus ends the reading then of 2 Samuel chapter 13. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms.